This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Among the stances that led to Donald Trump's election last month was his hardline attitude towards immigration and whether or not his promises to build a wall along the Mexican border, forcibly deport millions of immigrants, and halt the entry of people of Muslim faith into this country ever come true, it is likely immigration policy will change in the United States in the years to come.
Nat Godley had a firsthand view of how anti-immigrant policies have played out in the West. Godley is an assistant professor of world history at Alverno College, and he specializes in migration to and within Europe. He was in France last summer as a government crackdown on migrants played out.
He wrote about what he saw for this month's issue of Milwaukee Magazine. We will hear an excerpt from that piece in just a few minutes. But first, Nat Godley joins us to talk about the situation. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me.
What originally brought you to France last summer?
I actually go to France almost every summer. I go to the UK to visit my family, and from there, obviously, it's a pretty short hop. Usually, it's for research, but this time, particularly because of what I'd seen since the summer of 2015, with the increase in migrant flows to Europe, I really felt that I wanted to do something different. I wanted to do something to help that situation.
Well, and you are a history professor, which is a profession that people don't necessarily associate with the here and now.
Right. It is about the past. A lot of my work, though, does have contemporary relevance. Some of my research is on race and racism in France. So it does have a very much a contemporary resonance with these topics.
Well, and so then put the current migrant crisis into a historical context for us. You know, what did you see and how did it square with what you expected?
What I saw in France was actually something that has been repeated in the past in Paris, in other European cities, with large numbers of displaced people. For example, after World War II, there were many, many more displaced people, mostly within Europe, but from the other one end of Europe to the other. Also, Irish people going to England and Scotland to seek work there. This has happened in the past in Europe. It has been difficult for resident populations, and they've got over it.
Well, and what you saw, I gather, involved a lot of episodes in which riot police, the CRS, I think,
yes,
basically had these orchestrated campaigns of harassment against migrants who had gathered in places generally under metro tracks.
Yes.
Elevated metro tracks, of course.
Of course, yeah. So the main camp was at a place called Jaurès, a metro station called Jaurès, which is elevated. And they had gathered about 2,500 people there using the shelter of the metro viaduct and also nearby to a major asylum application office. The first day that I actually went to work on the camps, the police set up a removal effort. They put almost all of these people onto buses, got rid of the tents and blankets and so on that they left behind. They were not allowed to take with them and bus them off to accommodation centers. That was actually a fairly calm incident, although there were still some episodes of violence there. What I saw later on, though, was as this camp reformed, as people came back because there was not really appropriate accommodation for them where they'd been bused to and new arrivals came in, as they came back, the police decided to begin a campaign of ongoing harassment, and that often involved actual violence, really, you know, running at refugees, crowds of migrants with riot shields and so on.
Did you, I mean, aside from witnessing this, did you get a sense of the pulse of the you know, the average Frenchman, if you will, or the average Parisian about what was taking place?
I think I can say I did. The area in which this took place is a fairly diverse but gentrifying area. And a lot of people there were somewhat sympathetic. Many of them had somewhat similar experiences of migration in their own past or in their recent family past. And in general, people were fairly sympathetic. I even saw some reports of, you know, like 90-year-old grandmothers saying, "This is outrageous. We shouldn't be doing this to these people," out of a sense of moral outrage. So there were some reports of much more hostile reactions, but I didn't see that locally.
At any point in your time there, was anyone able to satisfactorily explain what the ultimate aim of these campaigns was and is? I mean, aside from moving these people somewhere else, what did they hope would – clearly these were not people who were going to get back on a boat and go back where they came from.
Exactly. You know, if you come from a place like Eritrea where there's forced conscription, you're not going to go back there as a 17, 18-year-old boy. There really seemed to be no clear goal to this. It was intended to harass them, and the ways in which they moved them on was so openly purposeless, really. You know, they would move them 200 yards down a boulevard to a place where there was no better shelter, there was no accommodation provided after that first day. And so it was very clear that it was purely for harassment, to try to persuade them to maybe just disperse into the side streets around and be less visible, but not to actually go away. Maybe to persuade them to go on to some other European country, but that's all.
A case of political leaders or whoever is behind this making it seem as though they're doing something.
Exactly. The political leaders from the mayor of Paris right on up to President François Hollande were able to say, look, we're putting in place these shelters, we're doing this, we're doing that. But in fact, they were also informing the police policies, which were, as I said, essentially seem to have been policies of outright harassment.
How are these kinds of situations, either in France or elsewhere in the past, as you've studied, how did they resolve themselves?
Migrant populations became integrated. They sought out work. They established families. They sometimes intermarried with local populations or with other migrant populations. And they successfully integrated into their societies. There are millions of people of Irish descent in my home country, the UK, right now. There are millions of people of Portuguese descent or Algerian or Moroccan descent. Portuguese certainly are very well integrated. Algerians and Moroccans still have some problems, but in France they're also pretty well integrated. Societies manage this, but there's almost always this initial trauma at the first wave of immigration.
Well, is there any reason to believe that the current day is any different? Is it likely, in your estimation, that society will again weather this and the current wave of immigrants will be integrated the same way their predecessors have?
I do think so. This particular group, this wave of immigrants, is actually smaller than most of the other waves of immigrants that I've referenced. We're talking in the hundreds of thousands, maybe a few million across all of Europe. When you look at, again, the classic examples of the Irish moving to Great Britain or Portuguese moving to France or Italians moving to France, you're talking about numbers that are higher than that, at least in proportion to the resident population. And again, they've managed those populations have integrated very successfully.
What would you hope the message that readers in Milwaukee will take from this? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, we have fairly little sway over the way public policy is carried out in France.
We do have very little sway over that. However, we do have similar kinds of situations on a much, much smaller scale here. Wisconsin takes in several thousand refugees every year under resettlement plans. Those people are generally extremely successfully integrated into societies fairly quickly, but that requires community support. That requires cultural support as well. It requires us to just generally be open to these people being in our communities and making them welcome and helping them to integrate.
And this is obviously a time at which there are some big questions about how immigration will play out moving forward.
Indeed. Obviously, this is a time when, yeah, as you say, we're facing some of these tensions. But again, I'd go back to what I've learned from studying the history of this, which is that there have been incredibly intense tensions around migrant populations in the past, including in the United States, and those populations have successfully integrated.
Well, this is a good time, I think, to hear a little bit of this essay. But first of all, let me just say, Nat Godley, thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me to talk about this topic. What I saw was only one small facet of the so-called migrant crisis. Tens of thousands more migrants are in camps in Greece, Italy, and other European countries, Millions more are in Jordan, Turkey, Kenya, Iran, and Pakistan. In Paris, CRS riot police are still harassing migrants with near-daily raids intended to intimidate them into moving on. Paris is opening two shelters on the edges of the city, but their approximately 750 places will fall far short of estimates of several thousand still sleeping rough around Jaurès and on couches and floors donated by friendly Parisians. In addition, at the time of writing, French authorities are closing the massive jungle camp at Calais and redistributing its 9,000 residents to centers across France. And migrants continue to arrive from Syria, Afghanistan, Sudan, Somalia, Iraq, Eritrea, Ethiopia, and elsewhere, fleeing war, famine, and persecution. France, like the United States, prides itself on its defense of human rights and its tradition of welcoming the downtrodden. But in both countries, anti-migrant fervor is on the rise among the public and in government. Back in Milwaukee, I hope that I can convey to my students at Alverno that instead of fearing migrants, they should empathize with them and seek to help them. Above all, I want them to bear in mind the words of British Somali refugee poet Warsan Shira. No one leaves home unless home is the mouth of a shark. You only run for the border when you see the whole city running as well.
Nat Godley is an assistant professor of history at Alverno College in Milwaukee. His essay on the migrant crisis in France is in the December issue of Milwaukee Magazine.